great to be here as always. I wish I had even one answer. But the good news is I don't think the Steelers do either. So the hope is the Colts don't have any, and they can just win the division and probably kind of coast into the sunset on that, because I'm not sure what else they're going to be able to do at this point.
House, I know the pattern we've seen the last 3 weeks. So when you group it with the pattern, last night fit the pattern. Okay. Still, though, how jarring was that first half to watch, because there was an expectation that this was the get-well game?
It was shocking. I mean, I don't know if I've seen a worse half of football from them, and they've played some pretty bad halves the last couple of weeks. It was miserable. I mean, you can't really define it any better. The worst part of it was the receivers were actually catching the ball. And now
yes,
you have a quarterback
right.
who can't throw it. I'm not sure what exactly happened this week in practice. You did expect exactly that. You expected a get-back game. That's a Mike Tomlin staple. Cincinnati has served as the target for a get-back game for years in that division. They had a prime opportunity to do that. You can't even really factor in a crowd. There's not much of a travel distance to
right.
Cincinnati. There's really no reason why the Steelers did not look sharper, to put it mildly, early on in that game. There's no reason that they could not have done that. And not only did they fail to do that, but they played worse than one of the worst teams in football by a considerable margin. I would say that half of football was the worst half that was played of any team that played last week. And this was a team that was undefeated a couple weeks ago. It's a complete 180 in terms of where they are now and where they're going. And they've earned every bit of that. They've earned every bit of criticism that they have that they're receiving now. And most of it is simply because you're looking at, probably the way that we're seeing it now, an 11-5 team that may or may not be a division champion that's going to go into the playoffs as the weakest team in the entire field.
Yeah.
And it's just shocking to consider that, but it's the absolute truth. And I'm not really sure what they're going to be able to do to change any of that. It was that bad. I mean, people were talking about it that I saw anyway. People are talking about it as one of the worst games they've seen in the last decade. I don't think that's hyperbole. I really think that's a legitimate statement. I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked. And I went into it not really sure what to expect. I mean, I went into the game thinking that they're probably going to win, so much so I didn't even really think about it a whole lot leading up to the game. Just a couple minutes before the game, I was like, oh my, there's a game on, I need to go watch it. Right away from the beginning, it set the tone as kind of like, this is going to be bad, isn't it? And then by halftime, I was like, they lost. I mean, they're not going to win this. They kind of put on a little bit of a show to start the second half, but couldn't hold it up. Defense started to fall apart at that point. And somehow or other, you just lost a game to a 2-win football team in late December that started Ryan Finley under center, the same guy that on this segment last year you and I laughed about. And now, somehow or other, what we totally expected to happen was Ryan Finley was going to beat the Steelers in their second meeting last year, or second meeting this year, at Paul Brown Stadium. I mean, to say that is just weirding me out.
Well, I mean, as I had said earlier in the show, if this had been Joe Burrow at quarterback, and, you know, the natural progression you're expecting from obviously a very talented player that I think gives the Bengals at least a fighting chance at every game they play, all right, I could buy it. With all due respect to Ryan Finley, I know he's a pro quarterback, he gets paid and so forth, but you and I both know that, I mean, there's a reason he's the backup quarterback. I mean, he's the reason they played him last year so they could get the first overall pick.
I think that's a fair statement. I was saying this to somebody before the call, too. My opinion, the only real difference between Ryan Finley getting drafted and Devlin Hodges not being drafted is the fact that Finley's 6'4".
Yeah.
He can't throw the ball. He doesn't see the field. The Steelers' offense is pretty limited due to the constraints that they now have with their quarterback. The Bengals were doing nothing. I mean, that was pure peanut butter and jelly. I mean, it was a simple offense. And they were able to exploit a few of the extreme backups on the Steelers' defense. I mean, I don't think you're going to see Allen playing linebacker all that often in a successful role. But the fact that he was forced in there as often as he was because the third stringer went down, Ulysses Gilbert was out quickly into that game. The amount of snaps that he had to play, things like that are going to happen. You know, you kind of see it. But at the same time, they got 17 points off of three bad and deep turnovers inside the Steelers' own territory. Finley had to win that game. I mean, I don't know if a quarterback has been more teed up for a victory this season than he was. And, mm-hmm. and to his credit, he made a nice mm-hmm. throw or two, a lot of bad ones. He made some nice plays with his legs. I think he's confident for what they're asking him to do, but you're exactly right. And you and I talked about this. Burrow's on that team largely because of how bad Ryan Finley is. That was the best value that he gave to them last year. He right. lost enough games mm-hmm. And was able to fall just short. They put Dalton in that game against Miami toward the end of the season. But he was bad enough to lose
because they wanted to get one win. That's why exactly. Dalton played that game.
If you can get the one, then you're fine. Finley, you served your role. Now go away. Whether they're doing the same thing with him now this year or not, I don't know. But what I know is if Joe Burrow played in that game last night, they would have scored 40. I mean, yes. it was that one-sided, and Finley was that bad in the aggregate. You put everything together, he played only slightly better than Ben Roethlisberger did, which is the weirdest statement I think that I've said today. It will continue like this, but against much better opponents for the Steelers too. So they missed their gimme. they're in trouble now. I'm not sure what to do, but they're not going to see Ryan Finley again.
Right, I understand that. The offensive line, I think Neil plays a major role in this because I realize that Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland are under the category of, quote, just another guy. And I'm talking about in NFL terms. McFarland and Snell are, in NFL terms, are just other guys, right? That's all they are. Steelers fans may not like to hear that, but like, there's a reality sometimes. But to me, it's the offensive line. They can't generate anything to take anything when Ben's having a bad game to take it off his shoulders because the offensive line has been good enough.
The offensive line has been miserable, and we saw it again on short yardage plays. I'm not used to going on the radio and discussing the same issue week in and week out. I've been fortunate enough to cover a team that's been well-coached enough for long enough that they – are able to identify the issues that they have, and for the most part, they correct them. I mean, it might be, you know, that they just have too many issues, and that happens to a lot of teams year in and year out. But for as long as this problem has existed, it really is remarkable to me to have to mention it each and every single week. But they can't win short downs. And it's not for a lack of creativity, as people want to talk about all the time. You come up with a concept. The exception of the quarterback sneak, which if you look at the health of your quarterback, I'm not really sure why you think that's an option. Right. But outside of that play, they have run anything you can think of in that down and distance, and it's all failed. I mean, like law of averages, you think they would have screwed up and made a play over the last 7-8 weeks, but they haven't, and it showed again last night. You're right. It is in the business here. We call him Jags, just another guy. Mm-hmm. Benny Snell is a Jag to everybody except for Mike Tomlin, who seems to think that he's, you know, the next coming of Emmett Smith. I'm not sure why he thinks that. Snell was okay for the most part, but he got, I think, like 70% of his yards on two carries. He didn't impress me any more than he's impressed me any other game this season. If McFarland doesn't get on the field at all, I wouldn't notice. He's a rookie Jag. He's still got to climb up to regular Jag status. They don't have difference makers there except for James Conner, who they can't ever get on the field. So, and James Conner is an average back. They're low in that area. But to your point, J.C. Asenauer has to play another snap. They're in trouble. It's gotten to the point now where they are rotating guards between practice squad players. That's where they are at that position right now. They needed a fourth-round rookie to play so badly last night. When he didn't, they had two guys who shouldn't be dressed for the game switching snaps based on the situation. You're telling the defense what you're doing. That's how little they respected Cincinnati's defense, and that's how little effect either player caused because they didn't move the ball anywhere in the first half. They have massive problems along their offense, and I think everybody can see that. But it's not any one thing, but it is the presence of everything. They're failing from the top down. It's not Randy Fickner, although I'm not nominating Randy Fickner for coordinator of the year. It's not Ben Roethlisberger, although I'm glad we're not talking about him being an MVP anymore. Their offensive line is bad. That's not the only problem that they have. up and down, there are problems everywhere. And my opinion, called me pessimistic, but I really don't think they're going to be able to get past any of those. They have two games left. One of them is winnable. you have to think that at least. They have to win one of these games. And then they're going to play a really good team in the playoffs because the AFC is stacked. They could very well go 0-6 to end their season after going 11-0. I think that's a full possibility for them. If I was able to make that bet, I might even do it just because I don't see how they fix any of these issues that are all coming together in the worst possible way. And on top of that, how many defensive players went down?
Yeah.
They lost three or four in the middle of the game again. They're out Ebron, which is, you know, two catches and three drops a game. Those are important stats for this offense. All of these things are coming together at the worst possible time, and I don't know how they bail enough water out to be able to put something together to keep them afloat.
Ben did something last night, and I've seen it a little bit of late. Neil, it looks to me like there are times now where he's trying to aim the ball. That's not him.
It's not, and
am I wrong about that? Look to me like there are times where I think he's aiming the ball.
What I'm kind of going to is I'm trying not to be overly technical with it, but when you throw a football, you throw with your whole body. You have to be able to step into it. You have to get some distance between one foot to the other. You have to be able to transfer your weight from back leg to front leg, and you need to be able to drive your hips and your shoulders into the ball. Ben is not doing any of those things. Ben is throwing from his wrist. And oddly enough, as this sounds, from his elbow. I'm not sure the elbow is necessarily the problem. I wouldn't be surprised if we hear at some point this offseason, even though Ben says he's fine up and down like he always does, and then come March, sometime around his birthday, we're going to hear that he's in the best shape of his career, and he had like 9 surgeries in the offseason. I wouldn't be surprised if we hear something like that. He has issues with at least one knee. And keep in mind, they announced he hurt both of his knees against Dallas. That was a while ago, and he hasn't quite been the same since then. He can't drive, and with that, without his legs, the ball is floating on him. He's putting it in a variety of different places. While the receivers dropped a bunch for him over the first two games of the three-game losing streak, he was flat-out awful last night. I mean, he had no idea where the ball was going from the first throw of the game, which was horrible. He doesn't seem to have a full body control over where he's throwing the ball. And with that, I think he doesn't have anything left. He has to aim it. You know, he doesn't know where it's going to go. He doesn't trust his arm. He doesn't trust his body. And while the throw to Deontay Johnson in the end zone was nice, that was a good ball. I could think of 6 or 7 off the top of my head that were horrible that he absolutely should have been able to hit. And he failed to do it. It led to turnovers. It led to punts. If anything, this just feels so much like last December. I can't get over the irony of it. Roethlisberger came back. It was good enough for a 3-win improvement and another December collapse because they don't have a quarterback they can throw. That's really the situation that they're in. And to me, much of it is physical, and it's starting to hit home to him mentally because the frustration is apparent. You saw him a couple times. He looked like even more angry and upset than he usually is. He's not a guy that has a lot of negative emotion when he's on the field. He tries to keep himself pretty contained.
Right.
He was really upset with himself, in my opinion, on a couple of the plays that he made. I just don't think he trusts his body anymore because I don't think it's there. I don't think he's capable of doing it to the level that he would want and to the level that a successful NFL team would need.
Well, I think this sums it up. Neil, to you and yours, a Merry Christmas, a Happy Holiday. To say that we are grateful for your weekly contributions would be an understatement. You know how much I really enjoy having you on the show and your insight.
Well, the pleasure is all mine on that end. I absolutely love doing it. I'd love to be back. And Happy Holidays to you guys as well. I hope you all stay safe.
Yep. Look forward to talking to you next week, as a matter of fact, after, and see if we can come up with different analysis.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. It makes it a bit more fun. But either way, again, happy holidays to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.